And now, an Envision Financial podcast with Luke Smith and Richard Perno. For personal advice, visit envisionfinancial.com.au.
Luke Smith, financial planner at Envision Financial. You're not in front of me today, mate.
Mate, I'm coming to you live from Canberra Hospital. So
Have you ditched that? Yeah. Have you ditched the bike yet? That's caused you to have that injury.
I think if my wife gets hold of the bike, I think I'll be bike loose by the time I get out of the hospital.
Yeah, I think it is too. Interesting topic today. We often discuss the interest that we have, and today fixed interest. And I guess the first thing to kick off with, Luke Smith, is what is considered fixed interest.
Yeah, look, I think this one's really interesting because a lot of people have a different perception of what that is. When people hear the term fixed interest, they generally think term deposit.
Yep.
However, fixed interest can be one of many different facets of that asset class. So when people are thinking about fixed interest, obviously we think automatically to cash and term deposits as the more secure fixed interest options because they have the lowest level of volatility. But then obviously we can tier up the level of risk that we take within the fixed interest sector to include fixed interest funds, to include international fixed interest, and also we can then get right up into the more riskier end of the fixed interest scale in things like emerging markets and obviously foreign debt. So it's important that people consider that fixed interest is not just cash and term deposit,
right,
because there are much better returns to be achieved by understanding your risk profile and how you diversify those asset classes.
And is it also important, Luke, to find out how long that fixed interest term is going to be?
Yeah, look, very much so. I think that term is one of the key considerations when we think about overall benefit when we're investing in the fixed interest sector, because generally speaking, the longer the term, the greater the return. Now, we've seen some anomalies at the moment where the short-term rate of return has been better than the long-term rate of return. That doesn't happen very often, but it is something that we're seeing in the market at the moment with the ongoing changes in interest rates, both offshore and obviously the impact of political change.
Yeah.
It's something that people need to consider. So there's a number of things people need to take into account, but I think primarily understand what fixed interest really is, because it's a lot more than a term deposit. And two, there are ways to earn a lot more than a high interest bank account without increasing your volatility significantly. So I think it's one of the most understood sectors, and I think people can expect a general rate of return of between sort of 2.6 and 4%,
yeah,
depending on how they manage their exposure within the fixed interest sector itself.
And what kind of comfort does a fixed interest give you, Luke?
Well, I think people move to fixed interest for consistency.
Right.
Obviously, with property and equities and international investment, there's an element of risk. Obviously, volatility will impact that, depending on obviously what you invest in. But people move to fixed interest for the defensive portion of their portfolio. And as we've just touched on, there's different levels of volatility in every sector, and fixed interest isn't immune to that. I use the term regularly, how fast do you want to drive the car in 100 zone?
Yeah.
You have the ability within the fixed interest sector to drive at 120, 130, 140. You also have the ability to drive at 30, 40 and 50, and that could be cash and term deposits. So understanding volatility and what you're trying to achieve is important. I think some of the other characteristics that people should consider is obviously where they are investing. Because you can have domestic investment as well as international investment. I think people should also consider the quality of the asset. And we saw this through the global financial crisis with mortgages. You want to try and maintain high quality assets. So if we are going to invest offshore, try and invest into first world countries. Well run, well legislated, well protected.
Yeah, good. Yeah.
Limited crime. Or limited corruption, if possible.
In other words, don't get something in Venezuela. Is that what you're saying?
Well, exactly. If we're going to move offshore, I'd much rather stay in America, your France's, your Germany's, and your larger nations, than start playing with your Greece's, your Italy's, your Portugal's, your Spain's, which everybody knows have come under economic pressure in the past.
So yeah,
if you're going to go offshore for a greater return, understand where you're going and how those funds are invested.
Yeah. What sort of return do different fixed interests provide to us, though, as an investor, Luke?
Yeah, okay. So if we sort of work through our tiers, obviously cash is going to give us the lowest rate of return because it's seen as the most safe option. So most cash accounts now, depending on where you hold your money, could be very, very low at 0.1 of a working bank account up to 2 to 2.2, 2.3, depending on the special deal that different lenders may have on at any one point in time, because you can move from bank account to bank account and get a little bit more return for no risk, but there's obviously the added administration burden you need to take on.
Yeah.
Then we move into term deposits. Obviously, the longer the term deposit, traditionally, the greater the return, because you're agreeing to lock away your money for a longer period of time for a greater percentage return on what you've locked up. So at the moment, we're looking at 2.5 to maybe high twos.
Yes.
When it comes to term deposits. Domestic fixed interest would be looking at the moment over a 12-month period to provide a yield of between 2.6 and 3.2%. They would be your domestic exposures. A combination of domestic and offshore fixed interest in a fund may be providing 3.5. And then obviously you can have some fixed interest funds that have the capabilities to introduce a small amount of equity investment, and they could be providing between 3.5% at the moment. So there are significant differences in what's available to the investor.
Yeah.
It's always about understanding your why. What am I trying to achieve,
yeah,
and why would I take on that amount of risk in my portfolio to get the outcome that I'm after?
Should you also consider, Luke Smith, how the asset is actually put together, you know, like a managed fund or ETF?
Correct.
Yes.
Yeah, look, correct. We've touched on those investment options in previous episodes.
Yeah.
And I think that's a wonderful way of looking at this sector as well, because different vehicles allow you to get exposure to different sectors. Now, we know that an ETF or an exchange-traded fund,
yep,
is a really cost-effective way of getting good diversification and able to target specific sectors depending on what the investor wants to try and achieve. So if we wanted a domestic exposure, we could do that. If we wanted to go offshore, we could do that as well. Or if we wanted to have a blend of both onshore and offshore investment, we have the vehicles available to do that, and it's cost-effective. We also have the ability to maintain a traditional managed fund in the fixed interest sector. Now, when we're considering where to invest, we need to also take into account how much it's costing us to do so.
Yeah.
As we've said in the past, you need to look under the hood and you need to say, right, what's the ICR or the internal cost ratio? And that's the charge that you will incur for the privilege of investing in the vehicle that you're looking at. And they can actually have quite a broad spread from 0.25 right up to 0.9, depending on where the fund is targeting their investment and what they're hoping to try and achieve.
And what about reviewing the cost of the option to limit the expenses too, Luke?
Yeah, look, I think that ties in very well with what we're talking about, the ICR, and also the structure that you use. So when we're thinking about where to put investment, fixed interest does not provide a tax-effective return like an Australian equity would, because we don't have the benefit of franking credits or the likes of tax-deferred income from property. So traditionally, you want to think about where your fixed interest investments are being placed, and I would think that you would try and focus that on the most tax-efficient structure you have.
Yeah.
Now, that could be a pension, which has a nil tax structure. That could be accumulated superannuation, which has a tax rate of 15%. Or potentially within something like a family trust, where you have the discretion to distribute the income earned to different members of the trust so that you can control the tax impact of the return that you're getting.
No.
So we want to know where it's going to be invested. We want to know the vehicle we're going to use. We then want to have a look and say, what does that vehicle cost us? And then where's the best place that we could hold that vehicle in the portfolio structures that we maintain as individuals? Because everybody's situation is a little bit different.
It.
With a company, their own name, a family trust, a super fund, a pension account, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah. What actually can change the rate of return when it comes to fixed interest? What impacts that, Luke?
Yeah, so some of the things that people can consider there are, one, the provider.
Yeah.
Two, the assets inside the fund. If people are going to invest in more volatile investments. They could expect to have a more proactive approach or active management inside the fund. That can generally lead to more expensive investment costs because there's a lot more trading going on in the sector. Some things that could also impact the rate of return would be the time frame, as we touched on earlier.
Yeah.
How long is the money tied away for? Because the longer the duration, the greater the return. That may then also impact the liquidity. So understanding how quickly you could get out of something can also have an impact on the return, because generally investment houses will want to hold on to your money for longer. And as a result, they'll give you a greater rate of return. However, you need to consider that if you did need that money at short notice, there may be break costs or other things that would impact the amount of money that you get back.
Yeah.
And the speed at which you can get it.
Ah, right. So really, is having a fixed term interest rate a comfort zone? Is it a good solid foundation in round terms? You know where you're going, in other words.
Exactly. I think having something that you understand and that you can manage is important. And that's where you would look to try and have multiple investments in the fixed interest sector so that you can try and mitigate the risks that you could be considering. So if we think about a portfolio, if we know that we're going to need some money in the short term, say 6, 12, 18 months, we may have part of the portfolio invested on a shorter duration. If we have a chunk of the portfolio that we know is a long-term safety play, you might be happy to take something with a longer maturity date and get a little bit more return.
Yeah.
Or be happy to stay in an investment for an extended period of time to maximise the rate of return within the portfolio. So understanding the why is really important, but then also looking at how it fits inside your broader portfolio and your income needs, either leading into retirement or in retirement, because when we need to draw pension, we don't want to be in a position where we have to sell assets to try and live the lifestyle that we want to have.
That's
so
your point, yeah.
Staggering your terms is important, because a big consideration there is if interest rates do rise at any one point in time, obviously, the value of assets in the fixed interest sector changes just like any other investment. So if rates go up, the face value of fixed interest assets could come down.
Mm.
And if you have all of your fixed interest investments maturing at the same time, there could be an adverse impact to the value of your portfolio compared to somebody that has it staggered out over a longer duration, because they may be less impacted by a change in interest rates, some market noise or something that a politician has said somewhere in the world
that could
have a short-term impact on the value of your investment.
So consider fixed interest, and if you want to know more, you can contact financial planners, including Barb, who'll give you a cup of coffee at Envision Financial at 4452 Townsend Street in Phillip. Luke Smith's on 6260 4749, and if you've missed any of our conversations, including the one today, Luke, it's pretty easy to have a think and go back and have a listen, isn't it?
Yeah, that's right. So we've got all the episodes recorded now on video, and we've taken all the key points out there, so you've got some reading material and a little bit of homework if you want to try and do a bit of investigating yourself. You can also Google the strategy stack at Luke Talks Money on Apple. So we've got the podcast there, so you can listen to that on the way home if you're not already on a Friday afternoon.
Yep.
And then obviously there's the Knowledge Centre. So if you want to do a little bit of delving into the things that we've talked about today, you can go onto the website www.envisionfinancial.com.au, and you can go to resources on the top line there on the website. Select the Knowledge Centre as a free subscription, and in there we have a library of all of these sorts of things. So if you are a little more technically minded, you can have a good read and a delve into how different things work and bring your understanding up to speed on fixed interest investments.
Yep, real easy. And you can contact Luke Smith at 6260 4749 at 4452 Townsend Street in Phillip. Luke Smith, financial planner at Envision Financial. Behave in the hospital, and we'll look forward to seeing you face to face next week at this time. Thanks, Luke.